Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for lacrosse athletes and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other platforms. The website is laxjournal.com. On Twitter, at NELaxJournal. Instagram, at New England Lacrosse Journal. On Facebook, at Lax Journal. And you can email the show, chasingthegoal, at laxjournal.com. And now, here are your hosts, Jack, the Dean of Lacrosse, Piatelli, and New England Lacrosse Journal and laxjournal.com editor, Mike Z.
Hey, thanks everybody, lacrosse fans and listeners, for joining us again on New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Fourth episode of the podcast today, and I'm here with Jack Piatelli. And Jack, we've got college lacrosse on the menu. Great time of year for it.
Really is exciting to see all the games on TV, having an opportunity to watch some great lacrosse being played at all levels, and just so happy for the players to have the opportunity to get out there and compete.
Got a really good guest today who's been part of this first month plus of college lacrosse. Guy you know well, Springfield guy, Rutgers coach Brian Breck.
Yeah, he went to Sachem High School in Long Island, and the reason why he went to Springfield was he knew he wanted to be a teacher and coach, and he's done a fabulous job at Rutgers rebuilding that program. He's a high-energy guy, very competitive guy, and we're going to learn more about the program and what his expectations are from his players and what he looks for athletes in the recruiting process.
And every coach looks for something different.
No question about it. You know, Rutgers is much different than a Syracuse or Ohio State. Every school is different. They're looking for different players. And academics is very important at Rutgers, too. For Coach Breck, he's looking for high academic athletic students, and he's also looking for multiple sport athletes.
I'm very excited to see what insight Coach Breck could give us. Rutgers coach Brian Breck, up next on New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
Coach, thanks very much for joining us this morning on New England Lacrosse Journal's podcast. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got started in lacrosse. I know you're from Long Island, but were you born with a stick? Because most kids who come from Long Island, when they come out of the womb, they have a stick in their hand.
No, I was, grew up on Long Island, out in Suffolk County, went to Sachem High School, and, probably just like everyone else growing up, did a lot of bit of everything. I started out with, youth soccer and t-ball and baseball. Did some, Pop Warner football and, lacrosse, rec-wise, in the local area, Sachem, Youth Athletic Club, and, started, playing really, back then, junior high was the first, real organized, part of lacrosse. And then, my high school was so big, we had a freshman JV varsity team. So just, went up through the ranks, playing and just enjoying the game.
Now, coming from Long Island, how did you find out about Springfield College and how did you end up at Springfield and the recruiting process for you? Obviously a lot different than it is today.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. The recruiting process it was a lot different now than it was, even probably 10 years ago. But for me, we wanted to wanted to teach, wanted to coach. That was certainly a passion and a dream of mine. So I was looking for a phys ed school. Both my parents went to Springfield, so I'd been up there before on alumni days and and knew about the program. Had a lot of respect and pride in what my parents did growing up, and seeing their trajectory a little bit and knowing the background coming from Springfield College, the education and the relationships they had. And so it was a good fit. Looked at a lot of phys ed schools, looked at a lot of schools similar to Springfield, and thought that was the best fit at the time.
And the program back then, were you on the national championship team?
I was not. No, I was doing my student teaching and coaching at Yorktown High School that year.
And what's the difference today versus back then, the recruiting process? I mean, since at times it's the wild, wild west. And how do you approach the whole recruiting process as a coach at the Division I level?
Well, I think, players make plays, and the best collaboration of guys you can get, not only just on the field but in the locker room and on campus collectively as a whole. And recruiting wise for me, we're looking for guys that could play at the highest level, can be challenged in the classroom at a major university in the Big Ten, and certainly the intangibles. I think the multi-sport athletes. Guys that have had a lot of experiences at a young age, certainly help when they're competing here in the Big Ten, both in the classroom and on the field. So some of our better players have been our better students, and some of our better players have been multi-sport athletes growing up in high school. So those are things that are not the end all be all, but those are some of the things that we look at, and it seems to be working very well for us.
So if I'm a player in New England looking at schools, why do I look at Rutgers College? What does Rutgers College offer that may interest me in taking a look at the school and wanting to play lacrosse at Rutgers University?
I think there's a lot of schools out there that you want to get out and be familiar with and make sure it meets everything that you're looking for. For us, being in New Jersey, we're the closest Big Ten school in the New England region. So if you want to play Big Ten lacrosse and go to a major university with, Big Ten football and basketball and athletics, we're the closest for mom and dad and friends and family to come see you play. The national television, with the Big Ten network, gives us a lot of visibility for, when family and friends can't travel to home games. I think academic support and being the best student you can be throughout the 4 years that you have to play at the highest level in a game that you love is something that we can offer here, and obviously along with the academic support goes the athletic support. The new Rodkin Center that we just opened up and moved into in January gives our student athletes the best facility in the country to train to get treatment, to develop their game, but also, continue with the tutors and the academic support needed to excel in the classroom.
You had a lot of success at Siena. You were there for 7 years, coached the year, made the NCAA tournament. You've been at a number of other places as assistant coaches. What skill sets did you learn to become the coach you are today at Rutgers?
Yeah, I look back and very thankful for all the opportunities I've had in my professional career, starting, at Springfield and growing up on Long Island with, my high school coaches and some of the mentors I've had, doing my student teaching. Each stop along the way has been very rewarding. Having a chance to, coach and learn from, Rory Whipple at a Division III program, early on in my career, very thankful for that experience and have an opportunity to work with Mark Van Arsdale and Jack Emmer as head coaches. Learned a lot from them, both on the field, recruiting, in the office, and organizationally, you know, as far as, you know, building and running a program. And, you know, certainly, you know, Joe Boylan, who unfortunately just passed away last week, being the athletic director at Loyola College. You know, what a great administrator, you know, who was a coach, you know, back in his day, and being the AD at Loyola College, certainly learned a lot from him, and very thankful for the opportunity at Siena College, from Don Jargenio to the alumni that gave me the opportunity to be a head coach for the first time, and certainly have a lot of relationships I still lean on and talk with to this day because of the, you know, the time at Siena College.
For our audience listening, what does a player's day consist of at Rutgers Monday through Sunday?
You know, it's a little different this year with the COVID guidelines and policies. You know, but I would say we've been, besides the daily testing that we've been doing and some of the guidelines that we have here on campus now with the season for 2021, you know, we're similar to what we were doing, you know, in years past. So it's almost business as usual for us. You know, our guys, you know, are able to take classes, you know, throughout the day, morning, evening, and night. Our practice block for us in the spring is right in the middle of the day from 12 to 4. So the guys, right now we're online with classes. So they'll have some online classes in the morning, you know, come to practice. And then, you know, after treatment, practice, workouts, you know, yoga, anything that we have for them that day, films and meetings, you know, will be in that, you know, practice block. And then, you know, as a major university, there's thousands of sections and of classes to offer to the guys where, you know, a lot of them take, you know, and start their day with lacrosse and then take a couple of evening classes each night. And that's kind of the routine they have in the fall. We go from 3 to 6 with our practice block. So opens up a little bit more of the midday classes for the guys, but still allowing them to take the evening classes, which are very popular with our guys, especially in the School of Business. You know, it's really, you know, they're going to classes during the day. They have a practice block. You know, there's certainly plenty of time to, you know, take advantage of meet and greets with professors and alumni and professional development. In the areas of their choice, and then obviously doing the extra work to hone their skills outside of the practice time with the coaches to make them the player and the program that, you know, we desire to be.
So how many hours a day players, other than practice, and, you know, some players get hurt, they have to go to the training room. You said yoga. Is there any weight training involved in the fall and the spring?
Yeah, we're going 3 days a week in the fall in the weight room with our strength coach. And then in season, you know, we dial it down to about, you know, twice a week. Yeah, we have, you know, a rigorous program. I think our head strength and conditioning coach does a great job, not only with the stuff in the weight room, but, you know, on the field with some of the speed and the agility workouts. You know, we're a fluid sport, so it's not, you know, 5 yards in a cloud of dust where football can line up and huddle up after each play. I mean, we have to be a little more fluid and the start and the stopping, the long distances, the short distances, the change of directions. And, you know, our strength and conditioning program is not just, you know, in the weight room, but also on the field with, you know, some of the agility and the movement stuff, which I think, you know, has helped our program, you know, grow over the years. You know, yoga once a week, you know, want to take care of the body, the hamstrings, the core, you know, that is, you know, kind of taxed a little bit with the movements of our sport. You know, want to, you know, take a day to kind of, you know, stretch and, you know, get that ready to go, you know, at the end of the week for game day. So we're probably, you know, 3 days a week in the weight room out of season, you know, twice in season, you know, 1 day of yoga at the end of the week as we prepare for game day on Saturday or Sunday. And then, you know, study hall for the guys that's available in the Rodkin Center where we call home right now. We have a nutritionalist that, you know, provides us meals, you know, after practice and snacks just to, you know, fuel the body. So they do a good job of, you know, taking care of us. And, you know, we ask a lot of the guys, you know, we're the NCAA, you know, only allows us to work, you know, 20 hours a week with them, you know, with the coaches, with films, meetings, practices, weight room, yoga, you know, but you know, a lot of the guys, you know, they want to be great. So, you know, they're doing, you know, the extra work on their own, either before or after practice, you know, shooting or wall ball, and then just developing individual parts of their game.
Your practice planned for in the fall versus the spring, do you continue to work on skill development?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, there's probably pros and cons of, you know, this whole, you know, year and with the COVID and, you know, trying to keep everything, you know, in a nice bubble and not having a lot of, you know, interaction with others. You know, our fall was very different this year where, you know, we didn't have any scrimmages. We didn't have any alumni games. So we did a lot of things that were all internal. And, you know, I thought that's really helped our younger guys who maybe didn't have a high school season. You know, so with the seniors in high school season getting canceled last year, coming in as freshmen, you know, developing and having everything internal to kind of take it slow. There wasn't a scrimmage, you know, the first week in October we were preparing for. You know, we were able to use the 3 months, September, October, November, to prepare for the start of the spring season. And with a couple of transfers and a freshman class that, you know, missed their senior year, I thought that's helped us, you know, greatly as a program grow and develop. And, you know, truthfully, thinking a lot about, you know, maybe that's the model that, you know, for us to be successful in the spring is the best way to take care of ourselves in the fall. So there's certainly, you know, some good data to back that up.
Now, with the NCAA granting every player in lacrosse last year an extra year, how does your roster look like this year? And is your approach going to be any different in terms of the numbers you bring in the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're always looking to, you know, have a healthy roster. We have a roster of 50. We have 46 right now on the team this year, but we'll fluctuate between 45 and 50. You know, certainly want to secure, you know, a lot of the young high school talent in our recruiting efforts and get to know them not only on the field but off the field to see if it's a good fit. And, you know, certainly it's a two-way street when it comes to that, where, you know, we're a major, you know, state university competing in the Big Ten. You know, which is very different, you know, than maybe some of the smaller New England schools, you know, private schools of, you know, 2,000-3,000 students. So I think getting out and seeing the campuses you want to look at, you know, is certainly very helpful. And you know, our recruiting efforts with the, you know, year of eligibility that was granted to the college students, you know, being a major university, having a graduate school program, you know, I think, you know, that's something that, we had three graduate student transfers join us for their fifth year this year, and it's worked out very well. All three have been, you know, great additions on and off the field. I think it's a good fit. Well, we'll continue to do that for the next couple of years, given that we have graduate school and one-year master's programs, as well as maybe trying to, you know, fill in areas of, you know, need for us for the upcoming season.
Do you have a number of recruits that you bring in every year, or is it based on needs?
A lot of it is based on needs. You know, we certainly want to, you know, strengthen any of the weaknesses or create a little more competition in the areas that need it. But I would say typically we're looking at about, you know, 12 players a year, you know, that over 4 years, that gives you 48. So that's right in the middle of the, you know, the roster size that we have typically, here, you know, so I think with the, you know, maybe with the, excuse me, maybe with the fifth year and the graduate transfers, you know, maybe, you know, you're looking, you know, maybe 10 or 11 high school guys and have room for one or two transfers, you know, to be able to come in if we're a good fit for them and they're a good fit for us.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Now, your process in terms of recruiting from start to finish, when you see a player you like or your assistant coaches like, or you might see a video you like, where does it start? How does it finish? How involved are your assistant coaches in the recruiting process? How involved are you in the recruiting process? And is it a coach's decision? Is it your decision on the player you make an offer to?
I think it's a collaborative effort by the staff. You know, as a player and a family, they can't go to every recruiting event. You know, as a coaching staff, you know, we're only allowed to have three guys on the road, myself and two full-time assistants. So, you know, with all the high school games that are being played at the end of the season, once we finish up our season, and then the events in the summertime, you know, we can't be at every event that's out there. So we try to divide and conquer. We try to, you know, have a little bit of a short list of guys that we have seen in the past early on from the previous recruiting cycle and want to get out to see them, you know, maybe first, because you know, we know about them. There's been some conversations with their coaches, you know, club or high school. Maybe they've been on campus for one of our prospect days. So there's some familiarity. So you want to see how their growth is and track that. And then, you know, when you're watching those guys, you know, you have a chance to see all the guys that are either on their team or they're playing against, you know, both high school and club at the different events. So, we try to, do our due diligence and plan accordingly and get out and see as much as we can. But sometimes it's not an exact science. You know, team A is playing team B and you're there to see a player on team A. And then all of a sudden your eyes are automatically drawn to, you know, a couple of team B's players. And you want to, you know, learn about them just as much as, the guys that you went out initially to go out and see and track their development.
Do you watch a lot of film that you get from recruits, or is that a process where you see the film, then you want to go out and watch them play, or you get a call from a coach or a club coach and they tell you about a player that you might want to take a look at? Does it start with the film and then go to the field and watch them play?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. We'll try to watch as much film as we can, and within the last year, that's been the big emphasis because we can't go out live and watch them. We can't have them on campus for any of our events. So the film has been big over the last year. But I think the relationships and, you know, knowing some of the coaches and, you know, hearing from them about, you know, certain guys that they've been around a little longer than a 5-minute film clip, seeing their work ethic, you know, maybe the multi-sport athlete that they are and the successes they've had in other areas, football, basketball, hockey, you know, that certainly is a, you know, interesting to us and intangible that, you know, just the competition factor. So that's maybe the difference. There's a lot of very talented, skilled, you know, high school club players, you know, that are growing up and certainly the, you know, maybe the best player in their town and on their team. But when they go to college, whether it's Division I, II, or III, you know, they're going to be on a roster of 50 other kids that were all similar. And how's that compete factor? You know, are they able to, raise the level of their game and really fight and scrap and compete for playing time in practice? I mean, in drill work, certainly when you're preparing for a game, there's only so much, you know, you can do in the drill work. The drills become, you know, very, you know, competitive as well, not just getting on the field on game day.
That's something that I think parents and players don't understand. They get committed. You're committed to Rutgers. But really, it's not the finish line. It's the starting line. You get to Rutgers, you don't know what to expect until you actually live it day in and day out. The grind, the academic grind, you know, practices, and as much as you tell the parents and players until you experience it, there's nothing they can do about it until they actually experience it. And you've got to love the game in order to be successful at a Rutgers Division One program.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that has a very valuable statement and truths. And it's only because it's the love of the game, but it's also the passion to compete, because you're going to compete in practice. And I agree. We try to communicate and stay in touch with all our verbal commits and the seniors. We try to acclimate them. They meet with our strength coach. They get a workout packet over the summer. So three months in the summer from a high school guy coming into college, or from our college guys going from freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, senior year. 3 months is a long time. You can change your body by what you do in the weight room with the stick in your hand, agilities on the field, and you can, and maybe not change your body and work ethic by, not doing anything that's going to help your game and be the better version of you the next season that you're on the field. So, but you're very correct in that statement where, once you decide on a school, it's a good fit, and that's where you decide to plant your feet and grow roots. Now the work begins, because now you have to compete for playing time in practice, not only game time. In our schedule that we have. So the more time that the guys commit to being the best version of them outside of time with their coaches, whether it's club, high school, or even in college, the better players they're going to be. The guys that just come to practice for 2 hours and go to the weight room twice or three times a week with our strength coach, it's very hard for them to be an impact on game day. It's the guys that are, the first ones in the locker room, spending time with the coaches, watching extra film, going out with two or three guys and working on cross field passes or shooting or ground balls, reacting to the whistles with the face-off guys, the guys that are, coming in on their day offs. Yesterday was a day off for us, with a Sunday game. The guys that were in getting treatment and going out in the field, and it's not for an hour or two, it's for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, all those 20 minutes, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout a year, throughout the summer, they all add up. And it's, the 4 years go by very quickly. So if you're not challenged to compete against yourself, it's not so much the guy next to you, it's competing against yourself. Or when you look yourself in the mirror, are you better than you were, last month, last week, last year? We want our guys to have a compete factor and love the game, but also want to compete to be the best version of them, each day they go on the field.
And you're actually recruiting more players in New England than you have in years past.
Well, I think there's great players everywhere. There's good families everywhere. There's good students. So it's about finding the right fit and the right match. With the State University of New Jersey, we want the best players in New Jersey to come to Rutgers. But if they decide a better fit is someplace else, we need to compete in the Big Ten. We have a schedule that, really doesn't allow us to have very much wiggle room with margin of error. So we need the most competitive, athletes, lacrosse IQ, students of the game, and competitors that we can have to play the schedule that we compete against.
Coach, I want to quote a great player of yours who I've gotten to know the last couple of years, talking about you as a coach. Ultimate competitor as a coach, constantly doing more with less, relentless recruiter, played a huge role in pushing the Rutgers program forward by promoting player development. Rutgers plays fast. I love that about playing at Rutgers, the style they play. It helped shape me into the player I am today. Do you know who that quote's from?
Well, I know you're in New England, and probably our marquee player right now, in the pros in the PLL is Joe Nardella. So I'm sure it sounds like maybe something Joe Nardella might communicate to you.
You're absolutely correct, and that speaks volumes from one of the best players in the game today about you as a coach and what you've done for the Rutgers program.
And Joe was a talented player, so I know he gets a lot of accolades, and deservedly so, for facing off, and he's probably the best face-off guy in the world and in the country right now. But, he, once again, a multi-sport athlete. You know, he played, you know, he was a talented hockey player. He played football growing up. So he had a lot of experiences. He trained and was relentless in the weight room. But also, he was so dynamic facing off, and that was such a big part of the game. It still is. But with the way he dodged and his fluidity and athletic ability, he could play on the first midfield line. He can be on the first rope D midi group. So that's what made him the player that, he is now, is one, the relentlessness, the competitive spirit that he had, but two, he could do more than just face off. And I think you're seeing it now at the highest level with him playing in the PLL and hopefully putting on the Team USA jersey next time around. But and just the relentlessness that he goes through his training right now as a pro. I mean, there are some pros that, play for a couple years and they're just talented enough to play at that level once a week. There's a few others like him that trains daily for the one game a week that they have. And I think that's why he's able to sustain the level of play that he's played so highly at for these years since graduating in 2015.
Bring up a good point, Coach. More options as a player. You may go to college as an attackman. You may end up as a D-middie. That transition player is so important. So the more options you have as a player and willingness to play any position, like Joe, the better off you are.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that right now with one of our guys who came in and was a starting attackman as a freshman. And now he's a starting short stick team midi for us. It's a team game, and each year guys develop. Each year there's guys that have some strengths, athletic ability, skill wise, and everything. And you want to, each team is going to change a little bit. There's going to be a philosophy. There's going to be some systems that we think is fits our culture and how we want to play. But, there's talented seniors that graduate each year and move on to their professional careers. There's incoming freshmen and maybe a couple transfers that sprinkle in. And you need to adjust, adapt, and use the guys you have each year to be able to play to your strengths.
I want to finish with a couple of your quotes, Coach, that I got. Don't get a year older, get a year better. I love that one. That's a good one.
I think that's so true, and sometimes if you just, are waiting for the next group of seniors to graduate and then your time will come, someone else is spending those 3 months in the summer working hard or coming in that, might just, outwork you or, have a little head start athletically, and just naturally gifted.
Another one, when you are on this field, you are a participant. That's a good one too.
Well, you don't like standing around and watching. You can watch in the stands and on the sidelines, but when you're on the field, you got a helmet and a mouthpiece, and you better be participating in some way. And when there's only one ball, that means there's a lot of off-ball participation that needs to be done.
And the last one, players make plays, Coach.
Yeah, and it's not just the goals and the takeaway checks. It's maybe manipulating the defense and cutting and dragging a defenseman out of his spot, so the guy with the ball has a little more green to run to. It's backing up a shot so you have a second chance opportunity. It's getting a tough ground ball inside the box after a rebound from the goalie or a pipe with a shot clock reset to have a second scoring opportunity, or a first time ground ball in the defensive end, so you can clear the ball and get it out of the defensive end. So that is, it's nuts. I think sometimes when I started saying that, it was about the goal scorer or the assist or the big hit, but all the little plays matter. And when there's only one ball, the off ball plays are so crucial for team success.
Last question for you. Would you say you were more competitive as a player or now as a coach?
Probably a little bit more as a coach. and just being around, I think, younger guys and kids growing up in this setting and seeing their commitment in the weight room, it's certainly kept my juices flowing. And, I appreciate their efforts and how much they care and their passion to keep my fire burning as a coach.
Well, want to thank you, Coach, so much for your time. Really appreciate Hope your family's doing well, and look forward to catching up with you soon. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate you having me on, and all the best to you and all the players in New England right now.
All right, welcome back to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Great to have Rutgers coach Brian Breck with us. Some great stuff. And Jack, let me tell you, the thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that a player like Joe Nardella still remembers these comments from Coach Breck years later, these words of wisdom that he's, you know, applied to his own game. You're a coach, you've done this for a long time. I mean, what are some of the things that you like to tell your players? What are the ones that they're going to remember from Coach Piatelli years down the road?
Play angry but under control. Be a silent assassin. You know, keep your mouth under control, but let your actions show what kind of player you are.
Yeah, that's great. And we've talked to coaches. There's so many different coaches out there who value different things, who try to impart certain things to their players. And, you know, that's the case with Coach Breck.
Yeah, and Coach Breck has been such a great influence on Joe. And if you watch Joe play, he reminds me of Coach Breck because he brings a lot of energy to the field and compete level to the field. Both high-energy, competitive guys.
Yeah. Well, you may have questions, and Jack is here to answer them. We'd like you to submit any questions you have to be read on an upcoming show. Email chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. That's chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. We've got the dean in studio. We'd love to have him handle your questions, so shoot it his way.
Come on, send your emails in. I want to be tested.
All right. Looking ahead to next episode, we are going to swing it back to the high school ranks with a very accomplished guest that we are excited to have. She's a head coach at Darien High School in Connecticut, very successful, a National Lacrosse Hall of Famer. The resume goes on. We're excited to have Lisa Lindley. Come on.
Like you said, quite a resume, unbelievable coach at the high school level, won a number of state championships, developed hundreds of players, and not only did she develop players, but created a great path for them to play at the next level at the college level.
Yeah, and such a great lacrosse family, too. So we're excited to be talking to Lisa next episode. I want to thank Rutgers coach Brian Breck for appearing on our show. For Jack, the Dean of Lacrosse Piatelli, this is Mike Z. Thank you for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal. Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.